Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday. Packers back out on the practice field today. Jordan Love slinging it around the yard, essentially in 7-on-7 work, going pretty much perfect. He had one drop and one tip pass, but otherwise, balls hitting his receivers, his intended targets. He's smoking through it, and apparently will be getting some kind of work on Thursday when the Seahawks come to town. Very interested to see what LaFleur allows him to do, but it's great to see Jordan Love out there. And look, we are very much at the end of training camp. We've got one joint practice left to go and then a preseason game. And then they're debating about who's going to be on the 53-man roster, who's going to be on the practice squad, and who's going to be on the street, which is kind of crazy because it feels like camp just started, but you blink and all of a sudden we're a couple weeks away from the regular season. Happens each and every summer, and each and every summer it kind of catches me by surprise, but here we are. And I do want to give a shout out to second-year linebacker Tyron Hopper, who, if you go back and you look like through my reports from camp when I was in Green Bay, he very much popped and jumped off the field as far as very much looking like he was taking that jump that we talk about a lot from year one to year two. And I know we use the term the game slowing down for a player, and that does kind of get overused, but it certainly seems to apply with Hopper. And that has extended into his preseason work. If you go back and you watch both his work against the Jets and the Colts, you see a guy who is not overwhelmed, who is flowing to the football, who is not breaking with any kind of regularity when it comes to what he's being asked. He's assignment sure. He is a sure tackler. He's a guy who's certainly physical. We saw some of that last summer, but he has taken it to another level, and he certainly seems to understand his position in the scheme. Last year, I think you saw the physicality. I know in that Ravens game, the last preseason game last summer, he certainly jumped off the tape as far as his ability to make a tackle, to have good angles and arrive where the ball carrier was going to be. Pretty rudimentary stuff, but it certainly jumped off the screen. This summer, he is making plays. He is around the football. He is diagnosing before it even happens, and that has extended again into preseason. So I'm sitting here thinking this cat needs to play. I know they re-signed Isaiah McDuffie. I know there's history there with the defensive coordinator, obviously with their time in college. But man, Tyron Hopper, you want to draw up the blueprint for a player developing within your program and taking that hoped for jump from year one to year two. Hopper is that guy. And again, I know they paid McDuffie, and he has been out there running mostly with the ones when they go to their three linebacker sets, along with a intermittent splash of Isaiah Simmons. But there is no way, to my eyes, that Hopper should be on the sideline when they go to three linebackers. It's going to be interesting to see what his playtime allotment is in this final preseason game. I really do hope that he is given a chance to do something not only on Saturday, but also in the regular season, because I think, like I said, he is probably, I mean, maybe there's a conversation to be had, but to my eyes, he's the most improved player on the roster from 2024 to 2025 so far. And again, if you are a draft and develop program, this is exactly what you're hoping for and what you're looking for. So all that to say, very exciting times for Tyron Hopper. I hope he keeps it up. He certainly hasn't arrived. I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to be an all-pro or a superstar or anything like that. But he is certainly one of, if not the most improved player on the team. And I hope that translates into him getting more opportunities, not only here in this final preseason game, but certainly throughout the regular season, because he brings a physical presence to this defense that we have talked quite a bit about that has in the past maybe been sorely lacking. He brings it in spades, and he brings it with an attitude that's not out of control, certainly not getting him into trouble, overrunning things, misdiagnosing things, trying to freelance to a point where he's looking lost like some other guys in the linebacker corps. Hopper has really had an excellent camp. And again, I hope we see more of him on the field in 2025. What's going on, everybody? Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody in the comment section already mixing it up. Thank you, everybody, for stopping in and utilizing Cheesehead TV as part of your daily Packers routine. You guys know what's up. Let's give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the Cheesehead TV homepage or, indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. You know you'll want to. The other thing you know you want to do is you want to chime in here in the chat, like Krista has. Krista, thank you for being a Care of the G Club member. I hope I'll see you at happy hour, or at least see your name, since I know you never really join in, but good to see you. I just got home from training camp. So fun. I only spent $400 at the pro shop. Hashtag winning. Yeah, that's how they get you, Krista. That is how they get you. They suck you in with the practice, and you think, oh, I love the Packers, and this is great, and it's the beginning of the season. They're going to go undefeated, and they're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to go drop my rent at the pro shop, which is certainly what I did while I was there. So I'm not casting aspersions here. I totally get it. I'm right there with it. I am one of you. This is what I'm trying to say here. Totally understand. But I'm glad you got to go to camp. So glad you got to see practice. One of the second to last one, actually. So good thing you got it in under the wire. Well done. Glad you're out there. Brandy Lewis, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. Packers safety room was reinvented last year. Owen Savage to McKinney Williams and Hopper. This is a standard moving forward. The bar was set. I mean, the McKinney Williams and Bullard trio is certainly a major upgrade from what they had. And you throw in Oladapo, who, again, has had a good summer as we've gone along. I thought Kitan started somewhat slowly this year, but I think he's really come on once the preseason games have started. I think he's showed up when they've needed him with some of the injuries, certainly once they started rotating when McKinney was dealing with the calf. But yes, the major difference, no question about it. It's very, very impressive where they were to where they, you know, got to in just one offseason. Hopefully, you know, McKinney missing the time that he has this summer won't affect them too much come week one, when he's presumably back out there and Williams is looking like he'll be his running mate. And then Bullard mixing in at the slot. Very excited to see what they can do in a second year in the scheme. Nick, excellent question. Devontae Wyatt making any waves? Feels like he's been quiet. Talked about this with Justice a couple days ago. Yeah, it's been a quiet summer, and it hasn't really kind of sprung to life at any point that I can recall. Certainly, you do think, okay, it's a defensive tackle, so they're not allowed to tackle, right? Even if he does get into the backfield, you're not allowed to wrap up on a ball carrier, whether it's a running back, and you certainly aren't even allowed to breathe or touch the quarterback. So there is the sense of, okay, it's hard to really see too much of what's happening down in and down out during camp. We're on the sidelines. They're along the interior. Even if he does, quote unquote, win a rep, it's really hard to tell. But that said, you would think at some point there would be a quick win where he's in the backfield, penetrating quickly and blowing something up every once in a while. But that just has not occurred. Now, things could change drastically once things are live, right? You get to week one and you're allowed to shoot the backfield, blow up a ball carrier, etc. That might change. And look, he was certainly the most effective guy on early downs in doing just that last season when he was able to stay on the field. There were a number of games last year where, you know, he's played very well from the jump, from the early kickoff, and then he gets hurt. He has an ankle. He has a strain. He has something that keeps him on the sideline. There were way too many games like that. So here's hoping this time around, this year, he's able to stay on the field and affect the game, the opponent, the quarterback, etc. Because it has been, up to this point, a pretty quiet summer for Devontae Wyatt. No question about it. E4, what's up, man? When's the Cheesehead TV Magic 8-Ball going to be available? Matt LaFleur might want one for his podium time. So he just shakes it and goes, you know, when he's asked about an injury, shake it and say, maybe. You know, wait, I've got something for him. Wait, hold on. Where are we? You don't need a magic eight ball. We got the Darth Vader decider. Are the Packers going to win the Super Bowl?
No, is that possible?
Well, they're going to play a bunch of football games, and then they're going to win the Super Bowl, right?
I hope so, for
your sake. That's a fair point. Fair point. See, you don't need a magic eight ball. We got the Darth Vader decider. I'm just really glad that I didn't press that right now and say, you know, are they going to win the Super Bowl? Because there is one prompt from Vader that goes, no. That would have been, like, heartbreaking. Ralph, what's up, man? Want Parsons so bad. You know, this is all Ricky's fault for putting this out there. And I do want to quibble with Ricky a little bit. Ricky, you said there's an offer on the table. And then you responded to us posting Ian talking about, oh, yeah, the Packers would be interested, where Ian literally said there has not been an offer made. Well, which is it, Ricky? Has an offer been made? I don't know, man. I said you were going to wear the crown, but the cracks are starting to show with your reporting here, Ricky. I don't know. I'm just saying. Ian said there's no offer on the table. You said there was an offer on the table. That's all. I'm just trying to get the truth here. I'm just an arbiter of truth, Ricky. Let me know, buddy. Pulling for you. Don't get this twisted. I am not coming for you. I'm pulling for you. But you got to button up, buddy. Ain't no thing in these Twitter streets, dude. Come on. Remember when I put out Darren Waller? Packers were looking to trade for him. I got so much shit, and I was right. Just saying, man. You got to come correct. Is there an offer on the table? You said there was. Ian said there wasn't. I don't know, man. Pulling for you, though. And pulling for you because Ralph really wants Parsons so bad. I don't know. Man, look. I'll be shocked. They give up assets, probably a player, and have to pay this cat $1 billion. More often than not, when the Packers make this kind of move, it's in free agency. You know, in free agency proper, where they don't have to give up other assets. They're fine paying dudes. Well, there it is, going back to like Reggie White. But even more recently, you talk about, you know, Charles Woodson, Xavier McKinney of recent vintage. You know, these are guys that they pay in free agency. But it is super rare, if not like unprecedented, for them to give up assets for the right to pay a bunch of money to a dude, no matter how talented he is. So a long way of saying, Ralph, I wouldn't get your hopes up. But you never know. Never know. We'll see. A lot of ball game left. Joe, what's up, man? If they go with just 5 defensive linemen, who's the odd man out? I got to be honest, you know, there's a decent chance they just go with 5 and probably try to get Nazir Stackhouse on the, on the practice squad. And I think there's a chance that Carl Brooks might be the odd man out. We'll see, man. But I think, you know, clearly got a joint practice and a preseason game left to go. That is pretty important stuff for a resume. So a lot of ball game left in that regard. Matthew, how are you? Thoughts on Belton Nags with time to watch back? I thought he played well, you know, outside of the penalties that clearly were the headline, right? And everybody's been talking about. But even in the first half, when he was costing his team big time with the pre-snap stuff and even the holding call on the fumble, overall, I thought he played a pretty damn good game, especially in the second half. But, you know, he's a raw kid. He's just learning the NFL game. And I didn't see anything that's like alarming. I think you can see what they like about him, the love, the strength. I think he's got the chance to stick at tackle. I know Justice brought it up the other day, and I know lots of other people have asked about it, the potential of moving him inside. I think, sure, that could happen. But man, I see what they like about him at tackle. I think he could become an NFL tackle, and I think that's what they're hoping for him. And I think he can do it. But there's a long way to go. We will see. Len Beebe, how are you, man? Nags, help me out. But Supreme Pizza for dinner? Oh, are you like Buffalo Chicken or Supreme Pizza for dinner? Is this what I've been reduced to, man? I'm just like Yelp for the Packers set. Is that it? I'm going with Supreme Pizza if it's me. Now, you're asking me, and that's my choice, but that is not to offend any Buffalo chicken lovers out there, because God knows that's how the internet works now. If you state any kind of preference for anything on this earth, instantly someone responds with, well, what about XYZ? You hate XYZ? Yeah, that's right. I hate Buffalo chicken. You've cracked the code. Len, I can't believe you just got me there. That's amazing. Simatovich, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Where's Little Tun at? Is he in one piece? Go, Pat, go. Yeah, he's fine. He's actually in Green Bay, if you can believe it. I don't tear him apart for measly, you know, Premier League matches at the start of the season, or, you know, even deep into the regular season baseball games where there's still plenty of ball game left. No. Little Tun is doing fine. Ready to be torn apart at the drop of a hat on the first, like, you know, soft zone call on second and eight, or perhaps a false start penalty. You know, the Little Tun will have his time, but he's chilling now. He's doing fine. Mike Witt, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags. I know we started out camp strong, but how has Stackhouse looked lately? Reminds me of a tad more destructive TJ Slayton type. And how has Brinson looked in the games? Brinson's looked better in the games than he's looked in practice. I will give him that. I still think Stackhouse has looked better overall. I know there were certainly some moments in that Colts game where I'm sure, you know, Covington and company will be getting after him about a few things. I think he played a little too high at times in that Colts game. He got washed out way more than you've seen throughout most of camp, and certainly against the Jets. But overall, I still think he's got a chance of making the squad. Now, I suspect they'll still try to sneak him through waivers and try and get him on the practice squad, would be my guess at this point. But yeah, overall, he's a player, and he's a guy who can help you in very specific circumstances, in certainly situational aspects, as far as if you're playing a team that is known to love to ground and pound and run the football, this is a guy you want, especially on early downs in your rotation, right? Now, will that be Detroit? Could possibly be, right? They love running with Montgomery and get the lightning with Gibbs, and, you know, they love a power brand of football. Even without Ben Johnson there, they're going to want to run the football. So could he be up for week one as a practice squad member? That's, you know, a very likely scenario in my mind, where they probably bring him up a couple of times, and then the third time they sign him to the 53, probably in a month or so. I think that's a possibility. But all of that said, I think he's an NFL player. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Walter, thanks for the super chat, man. Hey, Nags, long time. Just checking in, saying, hey, hope all is well. Excited about Edrin. Okay, that's all. LOL. Well, hey, thanks for checking in, man. You should be excited about Edrin Cooper. He's an insanely talented young player who should pick up where he left off last year, and where he left off was extremely impressive. And he's looked every bit that during the summer, whether it's been practices or, you know, even the joint practices, he's certainly seemingly looked the part. Now, we'll see what happens week one. People start scheming it up, maybe trying to take advantage of him, his over-aggressiveness and things like that. Like, there's no doubt that teams are going to try to poke holes in his game. But his instincts, his athleticism, the explosiveness that he has at the snap of the football, whether he is swiveling his hips and trying to take somebody in coverage, or exploding across the line of scrimmage, getting through the wash and making a tackle in the backfield, or blowing up a quarterback, man, he is an exciting player. You should be excited about him. No doubt about it. Mike, what's up, man? I am not getting my hopes up on Parsons. Would be awesome, but probably not going to happen. Just really don't want him in Chicago, Detroit, or Minnie. Here's the thing. Yeah, of course you don't want him with a division rival. He's a really talented player. No doubt about it. All that said, I'm still where I was a couple days ago. I can't imagine Jerry Jones getting to the start of this season and trading away their best young player. I just can't see it. Just from a PR standpoint. And that's what Jerry's been all about for most of his NFL tenure. Forget the football side of it. It's just terrible PR. And that's what drives Jerry. So we'll see. I'll be pretty shocked if he is playing anywhere else other than Dallas in 2025. Aware, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. You know what I want more than anything this year, other than a Super Bowl 60? The return of that rarefied air that was once December and January football in Lambeau. You're speaking to my heart right now. I've talked about this a few times over the course of the last, like, 2 years in particular. That idea that when the weather turns, Lambeau becomes a problem for opponents rather than a welcome mat, you know, where opposing fans don their colors and they're out there in their blue or purple, you know, full snow outfits, their flags and their cheese graters. Man, it used to mean something to play in Lambeau in December and January if you were a Packers player. Now it's seemingly more exciting if you're an opponent. You know, now look, I know the NFL is a very different animal than it was when Holmgren and Brett and those guys were doing it back in the 90s, but that was the greatest feeling. That idea of we're getting into December, Lambeau is a problem for anybody coming in. And I've talked about this so many times. I don't know what they do other than play better in December and January, but that needs to happen because it's the one advantage you're seemingly going to have pretty soon when the Bears figure out whatever they're doing with their stadium. It's very clear whatever they're building is going to have some kind of roof and or a dome. Packers are going to have the only outdoor stadium in the division. You got to be a team built for domination in the elements. And it certainly hasn't been the case in recent vintage. So again, I don't know if that's Goody, Matt. I don't know if that goes all the way up to Ed Policy saying, look, this is the kind of team we have to put on the field. But it has to change. It absolutely has to change. And all in all, just Lambeau in general, as a destination for opponents, has to change. And that's not going to change until they win all those games. Win your home games. Got to win your home games. Especially your home games against the division. Last year was just not anywhere near good enough. And for the most part, Matt's done that. Like, since LaFleur's come to Green Bay, they've been really good against the division at home for the most part. But last year, that was not it. Absolutely. Brandy, thanks again. Rushing four and winning is the goal. That always starts slow the first few games. What would you do if you were planning? What is the key factor? It's a very good question, Brandy. The problem becomes, and you saw this certainly in the second game in Detroit against the Lions last year, where Halfley was cooking up so many different kind of pressures, right? And trying to unlock the protection for the Lions. The problem was, is Ben Johnson did an excellent job as far as being one step ahead of knowing when or having a check for his quarterback where, okay, if you see pressure from one side, you've got an outlet on the other that you can check to, where you can just fire the ball right after you get the snap and you've got a little wide receiver screen that picks up the first down, you know, or just taking advantage of some of the zone blitz tendencies that Halfley had put out there throughout the season. You know, now, so what's fun about week one, it's a real crapshoot. It's a lot of unscouted stuff. You're not really sure because, especially now with the Lions having two totally new coordinators, not a ton of data to go off of as far as their tendencies go. So maybe the Packers can have a little bit of an advantage in that regard. But for the most part, to your point, you got to win with four. You have to be able to win with four. If you have to resort to sim pressure and exotic blitzes and things like that, most NFL coordinators have a really good idea of how to handle that and how to take advantage of it. Now, you sprinkle it in. You certainly want to utilize it every once in a while. But if it becomes your primary MO, you're going to get in trouble sooner rather than later. So what is the key factor? I mean, LVN summer continues into week one and it becomes real. And he doesn't have to like have three sacks in the opening game, but he has to show that everything we've seen this summer has not been a tease for something that doesn't exist, right? And that, you know, extends to Rashawn, has to be winning, of course, and those guys along the interior have to do their job. But to me, LVN, that's why it's such a big piece. You know, if he can take that step that we've really, really hoped we've been seeing this summer, it makes things really different on the defensive side of the ball for the Packers. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. Next episode of Transplants coming soon. Funny you should mention it. Why, yes, next week, a week from tomorrow, will be the return of Packer Transplants Live. That's right. Corey Behnke, Green Bay Gardener himself, will be out here in these Cheesehead TV YouTube streets giving you all the latest hot takes on the green and gold. Be on the lookout for that. It's going to be great. Can you guys hear that? Got the windows open. There's no AC today, so you're hearing all the great sounds of New York City. Come on now. Braden, how you doing? Thanks for the super chat. Jerry Jones still crying from the 2023 playoff game. He calls it the worst loss in Cowboys history. Gotta love it. Saw that clip from the Netflix documentary. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe the Ice Bowl was probably worse, but I know he's talking about it in his tenure. Yeah, you love it. You love to see it. I mean, you hate to see it because he's an old man. He's at the end. It's like you would hope the man would find a little bit of joy at the end of his life. But, you know, on top of that, you love to see it because it's Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. So good stuff, definitely. Metal, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. We Packers fans need to count our blessings. At least Daniel Jones didn't just get named our starting quarterback. Yes, I live near Indy and have been trolling Colts fans all day. Man, all I'm going to say about that is that writing was on the wall as soon as they signed Daniel Jones. And doesn't that make you feel a little better about the fact that the Packers drafted Jordan Love when they did and had a plan for life after their superstar quarterback and Aaron Rodgers? I mean, you can agree with the pick. You can like Jordan and think or not like him and think, you know, whatever. But, man, I'm so happy I'm a Packers fan. Imagine going into this. That's your rallying cry. We've got Daniel Jones as our quarterback. Could you imagine that being your life? Thank God I'm a Packers fan. Mike Witt, thanks again. Can't wait till next year when we trade a seventh to Indy for Richardson after Malik leaves in free agency, LOL. I mean, he could do worse as far as his career goes. Come to the Matt LaFleur, Adam Stenovich reclamation quarterback project. Man, he could probably restart his career. No doubt about it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. As I mentioned at the start, don't forget Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, happy hour at the top of the hour. The respective information is on your pages. Make sure you check it out. I'll see you guys at 6 Eastern. Also, do not forget to mark your calendars for the kickoff party on September 6th. They're in Green Bay at D2, right across the street from Lambeau Field. It's going to be a ton of fun. Carry the G will flow. Corey and I will be there. Music will be happening. It's going to be a great time. Hope to see you all there. In the meantime, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. And then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.